This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris say the County Commissioner Rick Visser joins us for the next half hour to bring us up to speed on what's happening.
Good morning, Paul.
In our home county. Morning. How you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you very much for having me on board. And good morning, Chris.
Good morning to you.
Bring us up to speed. What's happening with the Greenbelt, which had its worst summer ever?
Oh, boy, what a year it's been. But the Greenbelt is still the jewel of Ada County. We worked diligently on reopening the section down from Joplin Road there, connecting the Eagle Island port, and it is open. We have some warning signs up because it's a little bit rough to handle. There was another section in East Boise over by the diversion dam that had to be closed, and we waited for the ITD crews to come in to repair the block drainage inlets, to clear them out, and strengthen the culvert.
What's the next part of the...
That's reopened now, though,
the
right?
Whole front, yeah.
It is reopened now.
What comes next?
Next, we're going to focus on the Penitentiary Canal project. We can get going on that as soon as the water is totally shut off. That's an area that covers about 1.6 miles. It's a small canal that runs along the Greenbelt, but on the non-canal side, somebody could drop down 20 feet or so. And unfortunately, we've got to take this project on by ourselves. The Boise Project Board of Control says what we have to do, and we're not getting any help from the irrigators. And the cost is going to be $1.3 million.
The county, yeah.
For the county.
That's a really interesting area, though.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
You look down on the wetlands. I've been there twice this year inspecting it. Saw several birds, saw a few deer down there.
There's eagles down there all winter. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's something we need to do. We just wish we had more help from the board.
And is there a chance of getting some?
Not from what they said, and what's been disappointing is we had budgeted last year just over $800,000 for this project, but the board said we couldn't use the type of culvert and piping that's used throughout the irrigation system. They said we have to put in this new style of pipe that is over 1,000 miles away. We have to bring it in from Nebraska, and that adds on about $500,000 to the cost.
Wow.
I would have loved to put that elsewhere on the Greenbelt, but the Boise Project Board of Control said, no, you got to have this pipe or else. But we're looking forward to opening it up and going full bore on it.
And that's the area out between where the Shakespeare Festival is.
Yes, sir.
And the diversion dam.
Right.
Have you thought about going to the public for...
We have some of the foundations and so forth, the Parks Foundations, and going out and getting some... getting donations to help out. I think that's what we'll be doing because that $500,000 could have been used elsewhere on the Greenbelt, but it'll be the most expensive mile of the Greenbelt, unfortunately. But it'll be safer. It's just too bad that it costs so very, very much.
So irrigation season will end in October, and that's when it'll begin.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. All right, we're talking with... Ada County Commissioner Rick Visser. One last thing about the green belts. Are people obeying signs, doing all of that? See, you're good. I knew.
Yeah, I think you know the answer to that one.
Some people are.
Some people are. But
three or four.
Yeah, that's why we rushed to get that section by Eagle Island open, because people were going around not just barriers, they were going around chain link gates. And when I've inspected it, I politely asked them to please respect that because we have areas to work on. And we did grade it out so it's smoother, but Yeah, they wanted to use their green belt, and we were as cordial as possible, but we picked up the pace and made the repairs as quick as we could.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it would be nice if people, you know, don't. I mean, there's always one guy that thinks, one guy's not going to matter.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know,
I think I saw six one day when I went out,
Exactly.
just at different spots.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
We're going to come back and talk about the new DMV branch and a few other subjects about Ada County. It's 844.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 849. Ada County Commissioner Rick Visser is our guest, and there is a new branch of the DMV, so a little less crowded where it was.
You got that right, Chris. We opened this new branch earlier this month. I was there for the grand opening on it. It's a beautiful facility. It's located south of Franklin Road between Milwaukee and Maple Grove, approximately behind Jalapenos over there. There's plenty of parking. There's room for people to bring in their trailers if they have to tow them in. It's just been a tremendous thing that we've done. So over at the other facility, they still have the driver's license. That's run by the Sheriff's Department and also by the state of Idaho. And most of the slowdowns and stoppages that we have had have been because the computer system of the driver's license is state-run, and when they get a crash, it's statewide. I've heard of Canyon County closing down their driver's license facility for the rest of the day because some of these crashes take so long. But I encourage and invite citizens of Ada County to use this new DMV facility right there on Franklin, easy access off of the freeway. And then also remind him that we have a total of 5 DMV branches now in the county, one downtown at the courthouse, this one on Franklin, another one out in the city of Star, the city of Meridian, and also Garden City. So we are doing our best to handle the growth in Ada County.
Fiscal year 2018 starts October 1st. That's thundering down on us.
Yes, it is.
What do you got going in the next fiscal year?
Oh, boy. The budget process was challenging, but I believe the board met that challenge. One of the most interesting things coming up will be the closure of the Hidden Hollow landfill. That thing has hit capacity, and I've had an extensive tour out there, and the closing of it is going to be done environmentally sound. Even when we have heavy rainfall, we're going to put in a system with about 5 feet of topsoil and native plants that will absorb most of that rain. There'll be a layer between that and the top of the landfill, but we're going to absorb most of it. We've got a good system in place. We have our master facilities plan going. That's the 2025 plan, and we'll be there before you know it. We have up-to-date radios for the Sheriff Department. The other ones were discontinued a few years ago and totally out of date. And a big thing is our clerk's office. If you've ever been in our clerk's office and just look down the aisles, you'll see files upon files from floor to above your head. And we're going to be digitizing that, scanning and digitizing, and that'll be an awesome development.
That'll be a long-term project, I'm sure.
It's a very long-term project. It'll be a couple years to do it because you have to have manual labor, but we're going to be pulling in students during the summer and externs the rest of the year to try and keep the costs down.
All right, the Hidden Hollow. I mean, what eventually happens to Hidden Hollow? In 40 years, what'll be out there?
Well, we've got that bigger pit right now in that vicinity. And it will be aggressively used to capture the methane gas. We haven't determined yet if we're going to use the same type of system on the Hidden Hollow one and extend it. But we still get quite a bit. Boise's done very well with their composting program. I've seen the figures on that, and I was stunned by how high the numbers were. But still a lot of organic things go out there, and they help the breakdown, and it lowers it. And it is high tech. I'd invite both Chris and you to go out there sometime, Paul J., and see how high tech it is and how well it's managed.
Where will we go now?
You go on the same road. Up there, and it's just like a V in the road once you turn in and enter the place.
Yeah,
and
you drive around for a while, and pretty soon you're there.
You'll find it right away.
Okay. Also, there was something called the Development Services Software Program.
That is a sweet system. I also got a chance to check that out, and you can go into their office on the right in the courthouse building, and they can pull up a plot of property that you want to see straight from Google Maps. If you don't know the address or you don't know the legal description, if you have one or the other, or if you're in the area and it may not have an address yet, say it's vacant land, mm-hmm. they can do it, click that parcel, and give you the information on it. It's really a sweet, high-tech system.
Kind of nice. We're catching up with the 21st century.
Yes, we are.
Next Tuesday, September 26th, is National Voter Registration Day. Well, what are you going to do? Not in honor of that, but to help it along, I guess.
Yeah, to help it along. Phil McGrain in the clerk's office is an election guru, and he's really enthusiastic about it. And he'll get our mobile elections voting trailer out to BSU for registration and planning towards the election. Early voting will be October 23rd through November 3rd, with the election on November 7th. This is a local election, really, primarily it's that. I know we see all the signs around town already for the candidates for governor, but that's a year away.
Yeah,
it is.
So some people may go there and say, well, who's running for governor? Why isn't he on here? Well, it's not a default thing. It's a year away. But this election is coming up. It'll have the city council on it, and it'll have some other matters on it.
We only have about 20 seconds left, but tell us about the kids' duathlon.
Awesome, awesome. We can thank Avamore and Ada County for being very active in this endeavor. This is the fourth annual one out at Avamore on October 7th. A duathlon for kids 3 to 12 years of age, where they can either bike or run, and there's tons of prizes, drawings, and great events.
Commissioner Visser, thanks for your time this morning on KBOI.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Chris and Paul J. Thank you very much.
Idaho Talks Live continues after a news break at the top of the hour. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Alrighty. It's Thursday. Game day tomorrow. Friday will be a football day. We were just talking off the air with Todd with 1D.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback Brett Rippon has been cleared to play tomorrow against Virginia. Coach Brian Harsin would not say whether Rippon would start, but indicated to a small group of reporters that both he and Montel Cozart would play against Cavaliers.
Yeah,
Brett's been practicing. He's been cleared, Harsin said. He's good. He's been back in the mix. There's no issue there.
It'll probably be like the opening game against Troy, where one quarterback will be in for certain situations and the other quarterback will be in for others.
Cozart has played well. Getting Rippon back will be a big boost to an offense that had, and people forget about this, had only 264 yards against New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Lowest output since 2012.
We didn't dwell on it because
we won.
Boise State won, right?
Brett's been here. Brett has experience, Harsin said. This is according to Blue Turf Sports. We put together a package of plays since spring, and Brett has been a big part of that. All right, now, the reason I brought this up.
Yeah.
And game day coverage, by the way, begins tomorrow at 1. So, what is it, 26 hours, something like that? No.
28.
28 hours. All right, so your head coach, Brian Harsin, who do you start?
You're actually asking me. I suppose Rippon, because Rippon was named the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year. And generally, when you do name somebody starting quarterback, you know, if they are healthy enough to play, you play them. I don't know. I mean, the first game kind of surprised me, you know, when they were kind of interchanging the quarterbacks anyway. And then in the Washington State game, you know, Rippon got sacked hard, and so he was taken out for physical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cozart played, and then Cozart started last week because Rippon, I guess, wasn't available to play. And you know, he wasn't even suited. I mean, he was, you know, wearing his, his football jersey, but he, you know, wasn't suited up for the game, pads and everything. So this time, I think if he's physically able to play, I would say play Rippon. On the other hand, I am not the coach, and I don't know which quarterback would be more ready for this particular team.
All right, now two years ago, you have the same scenario,
mm-hmm.
exactly the same scenario. Rippon is on the other side then.
Yeah.
So Rippon is the guy who comes in. He's the Cozart.
Was it for Finley, yeah.
Yeah, he's the Cozart in that situation, while Ryan Finley is the
Rippon.
Rippon, yeah. So
that's where it gets confusing.
In that situation,
mm-hmm.
they start Rippon and Finley up and leaves.
True.
So that's just the opposite of your scenario here.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But what was it? Was it Dinwiddie and Rohde way back when?
Yeah, Rohde comes in, wins 10 straight.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. But Dinwiddie was injured.
Yes,
it was. It was Dinwiddie. Yeah, and so Rohde came in, and Rohde he played fantastic. But when Dinwiddie was ready to come back in, he did.
Came back in. Stepped in, won a game, never sat down again.
There we go.
And Rohde, who never lost here.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 10-0, I think. So, was he 10-0 or 8-0?
I don't remember what it was.
I think he was 10-0.
But it just seemed like we had, you know, an embarrassment of riches at quarterback at that time. It felt like it anyway.
Never, at least publicly, at least to me, has a guy who was a 3-month star and had it just snatched away from him. And
he
a guy more gracious.
Yeah, true. And he was. He completely understood the reality that he was in because of an injury, and that as soon as the injury was healed, he would be back out again.
He was like,
and would go back to the backup role.
Yeah. He was like, okay.
But again, I mean,
I'll
these
be
guys,
if you need,
you know, every, as we know, and we've heard this from coaches for years, every single practice, every single game, these guys are always competing for starting spots. And that's just the way it works.
So this will be,
they say, check your ego at
classic,
the door.
You know? Yeah, a classic case,
mm-hmm.
because apparently they'll both be healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, if not 100%, 90%.
You know, and chances are it'll be, I don't know whether it's already been decided or it'll be a game time decision, but it's the coach already said they will both play, so it'll be a lot like the Troy game, probably. One of them will start, the other one will come in, you know.
This has happened.
Certain situations.
This has happened more often than, you're stopping, you know, Nate Sparks and Bart Hendricks.
Yeah. That was just weird. That was August 30th, 1997, as I vaguely recall. who was it that started? Sparks started, and we were kind of cruising along Boise State. This is only in our second year as a full Division I school.
14-0 with Sparks in there?
I think so, yeah. And then
they brought in Hendricks.
They went ahead, and that was Houston Nutt.
Uh-huh.
And he went ahead and just took took Sparks out, put in Hendricks, and things just started.
Who
eventually turned out to be great, but things started to fall apart, and we ended up losing to Division I AA at that team, FCS now. But we were in our second year of FBS, and we lost to a Division I AA team by 40 points that night. And that's also the night Princess Diana got killed. A lot of things happened that night.
A lot of things. And,
it was also my 32nd birthday. That's probably why it was easy to remember.
And then later in that season, Hendricks is struggling at Utah. And we have a chance to beat the University of Utah. Nate Sparks, years later, told me, he said, I was sitting there on my helmet flirting with this girl in the fifth row, and somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, warm up. He goes, what? I didn't know what was going on. He said, so I kind of looked around, got the scores, I warmed up, went in, and what, he led Boise State to two or three touchdowns, and they beat Utah at Utah.
Cool.
It was absolutely one of the most incredible things. And I'm going, so you must have been sitting there ready to go in there. And, and he goes, no, I was flirting with a girl in the fifth row. I love
that. It sounds like Ron Luciano,
Nate
the umpire.
Sparks is too cool.
You remember Ron Luciano, the umpire in Major League Baseball? He said that he was flirting with a girl in the stands one time, and a guy, you know, hit a long ball, and he says, I all of a sudden it occurred to me that I was the umpire and I had to make a call, and so I called it a home run, and it was 40 feet foul.
Well, you can see that happening.
Yeah.
Did he change the call?
I believe so.
Yeah.
That was his book, The Umpire Strikes Back.
But there have been a lot of quarterback controversies at Boise State.
Well, yeah.
That's enough with football. We'll be back with more Idaho Talks Live.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 920. KBOI Rewards Code FALL, FALL, as in autumn.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know if our challenge listeners could spell autumn. No, I'm teasing.
Well, there
is it MN or
there is
NN?
There is an N in it.
So. NM or MNM.
Anyway.
FALL.
Right. That's
go to 670KBOI.com. Enter the word FALL.
We know very well you can spell.
Yes. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Because this is the final full day of summer.
It is.
Fall officially begins mountain time
Manana.
At 2:02 tomorrow afternoon. So when we talk to you tomorrow morning, it will still be summer. And then, of course, when we talk to you probably, you know, right before the football game, it won't be. Okay. President Donald Trump.
What he said.
Has determined how he wants to approach the Iran nuclear deal, which he, in his speech to the United Nations the other day, referred to as the worst agreement ever negotiated by the United States. However, apparently he has
get
not...
Get off the fence.
Yeah, apparently he has not told anyone, even his top national security advisors, what his decision actually is. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said yesterday that the president had not informed him or anybody else in the administration about his decision, and that he had refused to share it with British Prime Minister Theresa May when she asked him about it.
But they're putting it out there that he has reached a decision, right?
And, well, if he calls it the worst deal that we've ever been a part of,
kind of gives
it,
you a
it,
hint.
Well, it sort of, to me, that would indicate that he wants to pull out of it. But Tillerson, the Secretary of State, said he had been surprised when the president publicly announced that he had reached a decision. The secretary told reporters it would now take some time to prepare to implement that decision. He gave no hint as to the direction the president would take, but repeated the president's longstanding position that the deal does not address troubling non-nuclear behavior, despite the hopes of those who negotiated. Now, Tillerson, again, Secretary of State, spoke to reporters following a meeting of the parties to the nuclear deal, including the foreign minister of Iran, Mohammad Javad Zarif. The meeting marked the highest level U.S.-Iranian encounter since Donald Trump became president. The European Union foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, who hosted the meeting, said all parties to the accord, including Rex Tillerson, agreed it is working and is delivering for its purpose. The Secretary of State did not dispute Mogherini's characterization, but said that while Iran might be meeting its obligations to the letter of the deal, it is violating the spirit of the deal. Perhaps the technical aspects have been met, but in the broader context, the aspiration has not, Tillerson said. He later conceded that reports from the United Nations nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, continue to confirm that Iran is in technical compliance with the agreement. See, that almost makes it sound like he not only wants them to do what the agreement says, but also wants them to admit that they like it. However, he did say that the Donald Trump administration was determined to address the flaws in the deal, the most serious of which are so-called sunset provisions, which allow Iran to resume some aspects of its nuclear program after certain periods of time.
Has there ever been a time when
nuclear
sunset
energy
provisions have worked? I guess it's just
that I don't know.
Another arguing point by different political interests.
Now, those provisions relate to enriching uranium to levels near those needed to produce the fuel for a nuclear weapon, as well as other activities that limit Iran's atomic capabilities at various sites. And now one would assume that they've all understood that this would be for the purposes of providing energy to the country. However,
well, they can assume that.
Sure.
But as we're seeing now with North Korea, it's a short step.
Well, and Tillerson,
a short step.
Yeah, and Tillerson said one can almost set the countdown clock to Iran resuming its nuclear activities. And he added that the world was made less safe by the Iran agreement as it stands, particularly at a time when the United States and its allies are being threatened directly by a nuclear-armed North Korea. Now, in her comments, Mogherini also alluded to North Korea, but made the opposite argument, saying the international community cannot afford to dismantle an agreement that is working.
She feels it's working fine.
And doesn't think that simply because we've changed presidents that all of a sudden the deal, we should say, no, we're pulling out, because the other countries have indicated they're not going to. It's 9:26. We've got news coming up. We'll be back. Hey, we do tell everybody about their chance to go to San Diego.
San Diego.
Which is an old German word. No, never mind. How would you like to, that's, you know, from Anchorman.
Yes.
How would you like to spend a weekend in October in San Diego?
Depends on what weekend. 670 KBOI wants to send you to the weekend that features Boise State, San Diego State football.
That would be a good one. Personally, I'd take any weekend, but that would be a good one. All next week, listen at 7:20 a.m. with the two of us, Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and we will announce which hours that day that we will be qualifying someone for the trip.
And if you're the sixth caller, when you hear the cue, you're ready for the flyaway.
Exactly. Keep listening, or you'll be qualified. Keep listening for all the details. It is a San Diego flyaway brought to you by Harold's Auto Body, serving customers for 61 years. They work for the vehicle owner, not the insurance company. You have a choice. Go to Harold's Auto Body.
And 670 KBOI, and then
indeed,
perhaps you can go to San Diego.
San Diego.
San Diego is a cool place.
Yeah, it is.
At one point
stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah. At one point in my life, I wanted to move there.
Yeah. It must have been a point when you either it was cheaper or you had some cash.
Yeah, and just the weather is always so nice.
Well, it is. We talked about that one day. We were looking for places where we would just enjoy the weather. And I said, how cool would it be that, that sounds like a pun now, but how great would it be, I'll say that, to have a place where it's like 75 degrees every single day and every night, you know, it only gets down to about like, you know, 58 or something, and we looked all over the country and basically the only one with those stats was San Diego.
It's where everybody from Phoenix goes in the summer, and everybody from no cow goes in the winter.
Yeah.
Because it's nice all year.
Mm-hmm. No cow, meaning Northern California, meaning like San Francisco and above there. And then SoCal is Los Angeles, and they refer to San Diego as LoCal.
Yep, because it's almost in Mexico.
Yeah, that's what the LoCal
very
is called.
Very close.
Anyway, do you want to get back to Trump?
No. Well, okay. Do you, or are you done?
Well, I mean, I don't really have that much more to say about it, because he hasn't actually said yet whether he is going to be pulling out of this agreement. All I know for sure is that every single other country that is in the agreement has said that this would anger them, and that they don't think that once you have an agreement that somebody should be able to just leave anytime they want.
Yeah, latest thing this morning on Trump, California Attorney General says the Trump administration failed to comply with state and federal environmental laws in their quest to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico.
Yeah. I would say, well...
Gee, you think that's the first of a bunch of things like that?
Well, number one, I think they would like to get rid of a bunch of those environmental laws in
sure.
the first place.
Sure.
Because deregulation was one of his big promises, and something that he has been doing, especially with the EPA. And the other is, yeah, I think he already knows that you keep hearing, depending on what news you're watching, of course, how inconvenient a southern border wall would be for some people. And I'm not talking about somebody who's trying to come from Mexico to the United States illegally. It's supposed to be inconvenient for them. But how inconvenient it would be for instance, what side of the Rio Grande, on which side of the Rio Grande do you build it?
Who gets water rights?
There are people who have, the land of their own that pushes right up against the border. And a lot of it is mountainous and on and on and on.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Interesting.
And for now, the agreement has been you keep planning the wall, but right now just reinforce the fences that are there. So I who knows what's going to happen with it?
I just think it's so impractical to build a wall. But I do think it is practical to...
Well, I mean...
Have an electronic... wall, so
do
to speak.
Do you do something?
I mean, define wall.
Do you do something impractical if people vote that that's what they want? Something impractical, or do you wait till people vote and then after they vote say, "Okay, I'm glad you all voted, but it's impractical, so we can't do it."
We can do what the Bushes did: relabel wall. What does wall mean? Have weapon of mass destruction.
I mean, it depends on...
They changed the meaning.
Depends on what the definition of wall is.
Yeah, well, they changed the meaning of weapons of mass destruction to include mosquito repellent, and everything.
Well, so if you have a lighter, yeah.
Yeah, and so now you can, and I can see naming a wall that's an electronic...
Mm-hmm. Well, like, for instance, if you have a German Shepherd in your front yard and you have one of those, he's got an electronic collar and he doesn't get out of the yard because he'll get a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fence? Well, technically, no. But on the other hand, technically, yes. Because there's probably no danger to, even if he bites, there's no danger to people walking by, right?
Well, except
unless
I had
unless,
one of those.
Unless, of course, he just decides to, go through it anyway.
I had one of those, and the dog would go through it and then be trapped on the outside. See how that works?
Yeah.
Not well. KBOI News Time, 9:43.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Okay, I got a quick story for you.
All right.
9:47, by the way, Idaho Talks Live.
Paul, Jane, Chris.
Back in July, a 30-year-old guy named Ryan Flores went into a Starbucks in Fresno.
Okay.
He was wearing a mask, and it happened to be a mask from Transformers. It was Optimus Prime, the Halloween mask. And he attempted to rob the place with a knife. A 58-year-old customer named Craig Jerry, grabbed a chair, slammed it into Ryan, and they wrestled. They both wound up with stab wounds after the fight, and apparently once Craig got a hold of the knife, he landed a lot of shots on Ryan. Okay, so the 58-year-old guy was tough. Ryan is now in jail. He's facing charges of second-degree robbery and assault with a deadly weapon, but according to his mother, he's the victim.
Of course he is. My son wouldn't do anything wrong.
And now he's suing Craig for stabbing him 17 times during the brawl. And his quote is, "This guy, in my opinion, went from a good Samaritan to a vigilante. Stabbing somebody that many times, it doesn't take that many stab wounds.
You were trying to rob the store."
Yes, you were. And you were also, by the way, stabbing him.
You were armed and nobody else was.
Exactly. Stabbing somebody that many times, it doesn't take that many stab wounds to get somebody to succumb to you. The chief of the Fresno police says the idea of Ryan suing Craig is, quote, ludicrous.
Good for him.
Yeah, I was robbing.
You know what?
I was robbing the place with a weapon. Somebody stopped me, and they did it too violently, and so I'm going to sue.
We need to follow this story. I'm serious, because with the ACLU, et cetera, this guy could win.
There are a lot of stories like this. And they're urban legends. You don't know whether they're true or not.
True.
You can look it up, and somebody will say that somebody else heard that somebody, you know, blah, blah, blah.
This one's probably true because of the
They do actually have names, and yes, the Starbucks in Fresno was robbed in July. So I don't know whether the lawsuit will actually, you know, come to fruition. But you've heard about that one where a guy robbed a house, and he stepped out into the garage to see if they had anything. The door swung shut behind him, and he could not get the garage door open. There were no windows, and he could not get the door open to get back into the house. And apparently the people were on vacation for more than a week. And so he sat there in the garage,
stupor.
Well, there was a case of water and a bag of dog food in the garage, and so he existed on that for a week. And then when the people came home, you know, they were surprised somebody was in their garage, but apparently he sued them. Now this could be just an urban legend. It
that
might not
be
true,
true
at all. Oh, you feel like it can't be true.
Yeah, but you see, I'm saying that, John.
And there are others. There are other stories like this. The guy sued him because they had a hazard in their house that somebody could get locked in the garage. Well, yeah, you know, you're technically
trespassing.
I don't think you have to design your house so it's safe for burglars. That would be my guess. I mean, to me, that just seems fair.
I wouldn't think so, but part of me is going.
On the other hand, this is the same sort of logic where, you know, people say, well, you know, somebody's in the country illegally, and then all of a sudden that whole thing starts.
Yeah.
So logic sometimes is just weird. Anyway, or at least let's put it this way. The law sometimes is weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it that one. Logic usually isn't weird. And there are other stories. For instance, the one where a guy was robbing a house and fell down the stairs and broke his leg, and he sued as well.
I don't
know whether he won.
Yeah.
And again, could be an urban legend, might have happened. I don't know. I've heard the story, but I have no proof. And then there's the other one where a woman slipped on ice and soda that was on the floor of a fast food place, and she fell and hurt herself, and she sued the place and apparently won. And again, maybe true, maybe not. Even though
I can kind of see that.
Even though the reason there was soda and ice on the floor is because she had just thrown it at her boyfriend during an argument.
Okay, just lost me.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then she got up and walked right through it, slipped and hurt herself, and then sued the place.
And won?
Because I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's probably an urban legend. Chances are these things didn't happen at all. But they're, you know, they're great stories.
But, you know, every once in a while, like the McDonald's hot coffee and the crunch thing.
Well, yeah. And in that one.
And she ended up winning after she was dead.
Well, apparently they settled.
After she was dead.
Well, but she sued them for like $1 million or something, and they settled for something like $50,000.
Yeah, and so, it was like 6-7 years later that the thing was finally.
Yeah. Now, I hadn't even heard that part of it.
Yeah.
But these are the sorts of stories that people have when they're having, like, you know, drunk discussions. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
there's the guy that broke in.
My uncle was there.
Yeah. It happened in his neighborhood where I used to live.
It's like everybody remembers when you're a kid, they tell you that there's that story about how somebody ran over a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And they were nice enough to scoop the cat up and put it in a bag or something. And then they had to run into a store and they came back out and somebody had taken the bag. And everybody says, oh, that happened, you know, in my hometown.
Yeah, I know the guy.
Yeah. However, whether it actually happened or not, nobody seems to know.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, you've probably been sent email, but guess what we found out about email during, for instance, last year's election?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in email might not be true.
You know, and we're getting some calls now. People want to call them about these stories. Tomorrow's open phones Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Probably would be a better time because we're getting, we're just about out of time
30
today.
Seconds left. So open phones Friday tomorrow. So save your weird lawsuit. Thanks.
Well, you know, and again, I mean, a good example of the stuff that goes around in emails is that guy who went into the pizza place in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
and fired a gun because he was absolutely convinced by email that he had received that Hillary Clinton was running a child prostitution ring out of the basement of this place.
Which, by the way, didn't have a basement.
Yeah, I was going to say, of all the things that were wrong with that story, I think the first one probably is that there was no basement. But, or maybe that's the fourth one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
he's in jail now. I think he's still in jail. Should be.
I'm not sure about that either. I mean, again, I can add a lot of details, but I don't know them, so I probably shouldn't.
But we had people call and defend that story.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it wasn't true. Doesn't mean they didn't cover up the basement. Doesn't mean there wasn't a secret passageway.
Yeah.
You're right. I can't prove anything that you're saying.
Yeah. All righty. Tomorrow.
And there you have that.
Is Open Phones Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So save your stories. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Also, ball game coverage tomorrow at 1. It's 9:55. We'll see you bright and early.